Amen. Well, it's good to have Brother Griffin come speak to us tonight. Brother Griffin's been a real blessing to me and to our church. And he has, in the past, been a lay preacher, pastored a church for a while, helped plant churches. And so I've been looking forward to this. Come on, Brother Bill. But even in spite of all the introduction, you still only have 20 minutes. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to stand and be a witness. And I'd like to thank Brother Crawford for not being jealous of his pulpit and letting the men of the church stand and give our visions and give our desires and our hopes for the church. I'm not talking about the walls. I'm talking about the people. And it's always really a blessing to be in God's house. And and tonight it's just a little short, a few little words. But I was really in a challenge between Brother Brian and I. We've been holding some services at some nursing homes and things and haven't been doing a whole lot of preaching. I had about 3 hours and I had to cut it down to 15 or 20 minutes. So it's going to be fast. So turn your tape recorder on high. But we need this little bit of scripture. Before we get started, a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this afternoon just thanking you for the privilege of being able to stand here and, God, share the words that you would have us to share. May the Holy Spirit move us out of the way, Lord, and all the words will be a benefit and helpful to the me and the folks as well, Lord. And I know sometimes these sermons are the first time I've heard them too. So, Lord, we just pray that you be with us. And just lead and guide us in everything we do. We might just praise you. In the name of all that's holy, we do pray it. Amen. But in the second chapter of Mark, there's a few little scriptures here. It kind of amazes me sometimes. But this whole book amazes me, what we call the Word, the Bible. And you know, this book is the most misunderstood book in the world. Most of some of these words have been around for about 8,000 years. 6,000 years of the Jewish Old Testament, 2,000 years of the New Testament, and then a couple of years here and there, you know, and it's somewhere around about 8,000 years worth of words here. That's a lot of words. But we see these portions of Scripture. This is what we call the New Testament, and this is where we get our joy from. But the second chapter of Mark, there's a little scriptures there in the first verse. It says, and he entered into a Capernaum after some days. It was noted that he was in the house. And straightway were many gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, and which was born of four. And when he could not come nigh unto them, for it pressed, they covered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it, they let down their bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, what good. That's what you hear when you come to the altar and confess sin and you ask Christ into your life. And that's the first thing you understand. Your sins be forgiven thee. And but there was a certain other scribe sitting there, reasoning in their heart. Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye of these things in your hearts? Where it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But he may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Rise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw this on this fashion. People accuse me a little time, sometimes spiritualizing the scriptures, but sometimes we get a point over like this, but I was just sitting around thinking about these four men, or actually five, counting the sick man. They were sitting around, and they had taken their sick friend to every doctor in their little community. They had taken all the people that knew anything about medicine in their time. They could not heal the sick men, these four people, these four men. So these four men, they were they were kind of at a rate, you might say, what we're going to do to get our sick friend healed. And I like to take these four men and name them just a little bit. And some of y'all may have heard this sermon somewhere. I've heard it a few times, and I'm just going to play with it a little bit. But these four men are representative of all the people we have here in Heritage Baptist Church. And the first man I'd like to talk about, and we name him as maybe a prayer for Pete. Give him a name, because he's the one who usually starts things. The man praying, coming together, letting the Holy Spirit speak to him through the Spirit of God, and doing what God tells him to do. The prayer and men, the praying people, usually have the vision, they have the revelation that people are lost and going to hell and need somebody to go out there and spread the gospel or preach the word to them. And so prayer Pete was out there praying one day, maybe out in the woods or in his prayer closet, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit come down and spoke to him and said, hey, look, you need to get your friend to Jesus. And the prayer for Pete said, wait a minute. And the Holy Spirit said, look, Jesus is in town. He has come in, and he's over in Capernaum. He's over in the house on the outside of town. And you need to get your friend over there to be prayed for. If you do, I'll see he's healed. So prayer for Pete, man, he gets up. He's got the revelation. And he's carried a message over to another one of his friends. And I call that man Faithful Frank. And he says, hey, look, I just had a revelation from God through prayer that if we get, I'm calling him James. You say, well, Brother James, over the sick man, over to Jesus. Jesus is going to heal him. And so, Faithful Frank, he's the man that we all know around here. There's a lot of Brother Kelly's one of them, some of the other folks. Every time we have something going on here in this church, like the rodeos and the autumn get-togethers and all these little golf clubs and our master clubs and all these activities, we have people like Faithful Frank that step out and say, here I am, use me. Whatever you all done, preacher, let me know. Just tell me. And Brother Kelly and his other boys, they know how to go down to the hardware store and buy this, and they know how to go buy that. And they know how to do things around here to get the mission done and get the revelation out and keep the church out in the open, you might say. And so that's the faithful people. That's all Faithful Frank. No matter what you do, he's going to step forward and say, use me. And then there's another fella there called Willie the Worker. I like this guy too. Because old Willie the Worker, now he's the kind of guy that Brother Kelly will go to and say, hey, look, we need this rodeo fence built over there, or we need that playground built over there, or we need this big old Bible we just had up here. We need these things done. And these people, these Willie Workers, they will go out there and start finding things of this, and they'll start finding hammers and nails and paint, all these things that need to complete the job that Willie Worker is ready to do. He's right there. So then, this kind of guy I like to be, oh, Holy Joe, the fourth guy, he's the Holy Roller of the bunch. And they all run over there to him. So all three of them is getting together now. There's old Praying Pete, Faithful Frank, and Willie Worker. They run over there to old Holy Joe. Say, hey, look, we need one more person to help us get James to Jesus to be healed. So, Holy Joe, he said, okay, boy, he's one of the guys, he's kind of like Brother Todd, you know. He's always ready to shout an amen or give a glory to God or tell people how good they're doing the piano and the organs and all these things. See? He gets so full of the Spirit, he's got to tell somebody something. If he's down there pumping gas, he's got to tell somebody about Jesus. He goes to the Dollar General store, he's got to tell the cashier about Heritage Baptist Church. He just don't know what to do with all the Spirit that God has given him. So Holy Joe's over at his house, and these three come up and say, hey, look, we just found out Jesus is on the other side of town, and if we carry James over there, he'll be healed. And the Holy Joe said, well, let's go. And so they, all three of them, bind together to get their friend to Jesus. Well, they said, well, wait, we need this little stretcher thing. Oh, Willie Worker, that's where he said, whoa, well. So Willie Worker, he goes out, and he finds this little stretcher, and, you know, he gets everything ready, puts the soft pillows on it, the couches, and nice soft sheets and all this thing. And they go and put James on this little stretcher. Well, the four of them start out across town. Now, it's not like us, see. If we want to go somewhere, we can put him in a Suburban. We put him in the pickup truck. We'd call an ambulance to come get him, take him over there to see Jesus. They didn't have that. All they had was the four men with the stretcher and the sick person to go find Jesus. And so they grabbed him. And they're running across town. Boy, now they've had a rough week. They got it. They might be a little tired. I don't know. But it might be a Friday afternoon. But they get about halfway there. It's man, we're tired. We give out. You know, kind of like a Wednesday night. And we had a big boy. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, we had a pretty good time, you know. And so people a little tired, maybe. But they got about halfway there. And one of the guys said, wait, we've got to have a rest. I'm tired. I'm give out. So they all sit down, and the other one says, tiredness is kind of infectious, you know. So one of the other guys, old Faithful Frank, maybe, said, look, I don't know. I've had a rough week, boy, you know. He said, my boss put more on me than I knew I had to handle. I've had a rough time, and I'm tired, and I'm giving out. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it anymore. Oh, Praying Pete. He said, boy, you know, my family, this my 15-year-old, my 16-year-old, my teenagers, just wore me out this week, everything. He said, I've been to the ball games, and I've been here, and I've been there. And he said, I'm kind of tired myself, you know. And then it goes over to Praying Pete, you know, really working. Every one of them seems to have some kind of excuse to why they can't complete the mission. Except over prayer for Holy Roller Joe. See, that's the one every church needs, a Holy Roller. That's the guy that's the fanatic. That's the guy that's the radical. That's the guy that Dr. Houston was talking about that we need to be. And that's the guy that goes against all the opportunity. He goes against all the reasoning of the world. He goes against all the battles. He fights the spiritual battles. But we see the Holy Joe. He says, look, boys. So look. Purple Peace, he's done got the vision. We've got the victory. All we have to do is get over there. The victory's done been given to us by God revealing it to Prayerful Peace. If we get James over there, God's going to heal him. See, we've already got the victory. And folks, that's like a lot. We are saved, born again children of God. We've got the victory. See, no matter if cancer comes into our life, no matter if car wrecks come into our life, no matter what happens in our life, if you're a born-again child of God today, you have got the victory. See, you won't lose out on eternity in heaven because of anything else in this world. You are born again into the family of God, and you're there. Whether you want it or not, you're still there. You know? But we see that, Holy Joe, this is, the people's a little low. So Holy Joe starts preaching to these other three guys. Brother Crawford, sometimes we get a little low around here, and he starts preaching to us to build us up, you know. And we've had some pretty good messages between Brother Crawford Houston and Brother Henderson and all these other fellows. They are spirit lifters to me. I mean, you just can't live it. Brother, if you walk out here Sunday morning lost, it's your own fault. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're a Savior after Brother Houston, Brother Townsend finished preaching. All right? Yeah. Anyway, we see that, Holy Joe, he's getting the idea. He starts preaching. He said, look, see, Jesus has not appeared on the scene yet, per se, as the Savior from the cross. He's still alive. He's still running around down here. So they're looking to God the Father of the Old Testament. They're going by faith that what God the Father done in the Old Testament, they're going to be able to claim for their friend James. Not through Jesus, but through God the Father. They had faith in God the Father because God the Father delivered the people of Israel so many times in the battles. He gave the victory to the nation of Israel so many times when they didn't deserve to win. But he gave them the victory. He gave them the victories over the giants. He gave them a victory over Jericho. He gave them a victory all through the Old Testament. That's what they had their faith in. Not the New Testament because they didn't have it yet. See, these people were living the New Testament. We read it. They lived it. They were there when Jesus walked the face of the earth. They were there when Jesus did all these miracles. And that's what Holy Joe was taught. He said, look, there's a man coming to town now. He says, I don't know about him, but I know God the Father. But they say, this man called Jesus can heal. And he said, look, he walked up and this man was blind, couldn't even see it. He reached down to the ground and picked up some dirt, spit on it, put it in the man's eyes, and the man got his vision. And then he said, look, there was a crippled man. Jesus walked by and just a shadow of Jesus on the crippled man. The man jumped up and started walking. And he said, the same Jesus was in a boat and the storm was going on. Jesus stood up and just told the storm to be quiet. And the storm got quiet. He just went away. Jesus stood on the shore, went fishing with his friends, and they fished, said they fished all night, didn't catch nothing. Then Jesus, he said, look, throw over there on the right side of the boat. And they said, well, we've already fished. We have all night, we've caught nothing. He said, throw on the right side of the boat. So they did. And what happened? They had more fish than they could get out of the net. They had more fish than they could get into the boat. And I don't know why I said it's 52 fish. I'd like to know one day why the Holy Spirit calls the writer and said 52 fish. I never figured that out. But we said there was more fish than they could get into the boat. Brother Crawford was like that a couple of times. He'd go fishing sometime and forget more than he could get into the boat. But you see, Brother Holy Joe, the Holy Spirit was inspiring him through this. And he got the three guys back up again, got them all spiritual, got them all up, got them all running around again. So they grabbed the stretcher, and here they go, running. They get up to the house. What happens? A crowd. Anytime with Jesus, you do anything, it's going to be a crowd. And what I really like about it, the crowd had said there was a great disturbance at this house. And the people were coming from miles around, not necessarily to see Jesus, but what was the disturbance? See, people, I don't know, when they see something different, when they see something unusual, when they see the disturbance, they like to stop and look. They get curious, and they want to know what's going on to cause that group of people doing what they're doing. If you want to see something real funny, sometimes go down the streets of Fort Worth and just start looking up. Not at nothing, just look up. And then look down, you'll see 50 people out there. Well, you know, they're curious. Folks, that's what we are. We are curious people. And so we see the four men have got their sick friend almost to the crowd. And they're having a hard time getting through the crowd. And finally, they get around to the back. And this old, like I said, this old prayerful Pete, man, he's got some things going for him. He says, look, we get through this crowd, we're going to get Jesus prayed for. And we're going to get our friend prayed for. He's going to get healed by Christ, by this Jesus. And so to get around to the back of the house, they still can't get to Jesus. So what did they do? They're going to decide they're going to go up on the rooftop and tear the roof apart and let their friend down into Jesus. Oh, faithful Frank said, look, I'm here. I'm willing to do what you guys say. And old Willie Workers, he was there, and he said, well, we need to do something. And old Pray Pete said, well, we need to get up there on top of that roof up there. And old Willie Worker, he said, look, I'll go find a ladder. See, when you want something done here in the church, you go find a worker that's got a little vision. You don't wait to be told. He said, I'll just go find the ladder. And that was his desire, to be a willing worker. And we have a lot of people in this church wanting to be workers. One thing that really amazed me about this church, and I take a lot of hope in it, whenever a brother Eric announces something to be done, there's workers all over this place. Vacation Bible School, look at that, you know. And now we have autumn festivities coming up, and all these things. Right? People are already organizing to make this a good August festival, a fall festival. So he has plenty of help, you know. That's what it's all about. So we see old Willie work. He goes out, and man, he finds a ladder. He also finds a little bit of rope. He comes back. And between the ladder and the rope, they get their friend up on the roof. They go over there, and they tear the roof apart. Probably old Willie Worker done that too. But we see, and then they lowered their friend down to Jesus. And the scripture says, this is what warms my heart. This is the heart of what I'm going to try to share with you tonight. And it says, when Jesus, verse 5, so when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick and the palsy, thy sins be forgiven. Now, folks, here's the most important part of this. This is what kind of the Holy Spirit kind of told me a little bit. It wasn't the faith of the sick man that made him well. Verse 5 says the faith of his four friends, because they got a vision, they got the desire to see their friend brought to Jesus and be healed. And folks, that's what Heritage Baptist Church has sympathized this all over to me. We have people, we've got prayer warriors in this church. We've got faithful Franks in this church. When anything happens, that they're here to help. We got these really workers, boy, anything that's going on, the workers fall out. We got these holy rollers. Brother Todd's not here tonight. We got a couple more here somewhere. But we see that all these things we have right here at Heritage Baptist Church. And it's our responsibility. Now, we can't go out. These four men brought their sick men physically to Jesus, but he was healed spiritually through the power of our God, through the power of Jesus. We who are born again children of God, we are soldiers for Lord Jesus Christ. We go out into the world. We cannot bring people in here physically, like take a baseball bat to some of them, but that's against the law. But we go out and we spiritually bring people in through our love of Jesus and through our gospel witness. We spiritually bring people into the church. And living, this church is getting a name that this is kind of like a DD church, devil disturber. But people are getting curious about Heritage Baptist Church. What's going on in that little church? What's happening down there in Heritage Baptist Church that caused all these people to be joining these, and all these workers we have, and all these programs we have, all these missionaries we support, all these things that we do? See, we're causing people to be curious. We're not going out physically, but our witness is going out spiritually. And we are bringing people into the church through the Spirit and power of the Holy God that are drawn by His Spirit, not by us. And that's the way they are saved. Jesus, I draw all people unto me that I might be lifted up and they be saved. So we see there's a lot of things. And I'm going to close out in just a little bit here and turn back over to the preacher. But one thing I want you to remember. When the day's doctors do something to heal us, there's always a side effect. You can't hardly get healed by anybody or take any medicine that doesn't have a side effect. But when Jesus heals somebody, the only side effect we have is happiness, joy, and the revelation that no matter what happens to us, folks, we are going to be in a place called heaven one of these days. See, when you get that in your heart and your mind, the devil cannot defeat you. If you lose your house, money, cars, even your health, see, your salvation is not dependent on your physical health. Your salvation is not dependent on your bank account, your brand new car, even your social standing in the church, a Sunday school teacher, or anything. If you've been born again, you have Christ living in you. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And everything in this book belongs to you. Folks, and when the last, that's what God gives us as a byproduct, you might say. But I'd like to say one more thing. This being an obedient servant is one of the most important things we can ever be. That's the only way we can be happy. You can't be happy unless you're an obedient servant to Jesus. If you know what you're supposed to do and you're not doing it, you're not happy. But one of these days, we're all going to stand before Christ. There's going to be two groups of people. One of them's going to be, Jesus is going to look at them and he says, depart me, you workers of iniquity. I need you not. Then the other group of people stand there, and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Depart into your rest. Which group are you going to be in? That's what you've got to decide. So I thank Brother Crawford for letting me have this opportunity to share. It's been a blessing to me to be here. And I got 2 hours down to 4 or 5 minutes, I don't know.
Appreciate you, Brother Bill, very much. Turn your Bibles just very quickly. We'll look in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's think about that song, My Name is Lazarus, right? Those four men. Prayerful Pete, Faithful Frank, Willie the Worker, and Holy Joe. Amen. Pretty easy to remember, isn't it? Remember, those were human beings, you know, and face the same things we face. Very quickly, look at Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 12 with me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, I want to just follow up with you, and I may again preach on this one more time, but on prayer. As we look at prayer, we remember, according to 2 Corinthians 4, that Satan has blinded their eyes. So I just want to get one point across to you. I know time is short tonight. And think about this for just a moment. The Bible says that Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All of us would agree, amen, that's what the Bible says. It makes it very plain. We understand the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe all of us understand and know that the Bible very emphatically states that Jesus Christ would have all mankind to be saved. If Jesus is not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance, if God is not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance, then what keeps them from getting saved? Maybe the word what is not what should be stated. Maybe it's who. According to 2 Corinthians, Satan has blinded the minds of the lost, that they cannot see. We've discussed the verse there in 1 Corinthians where it says that that those who are blind to the gospel, those who are lost, see what we're doing here tonight as foolishness. In fact, the Bible says that the lost person, the man who is not saved, cannot understand the things of God. They've been blinded. So what's keeping them blinded is Satan. And we know that God is willing that all should come to repentance, that all should be saved. And what is keeping them from them, who is keeping them from being saved, is Satan. So when we pray, we need to remember that prayer is warfare. That when we pray for others, we're literally stepping into a battle that we cannot see. Amen. If Satan's the one that's got the blinders on him, and as you and I step into a position of prayer, praying for that person, what in effect is going to cause that person to get saved, or what in effect is going to cause that person to be the answer to our prayers? What do we have to go through in order to get that done? Of course, we have to go through our intercessor, amen? But secondly, Satan's the one that's got to be defeated. Ever thought about it that way? I think today it was kind of, as I thought about it even more and more, I think, again, I want to be very careful that we don't step off into some place we shouldn't be, but there's a spiritual warfare out there. And we do not take it into consideration many times as we should. We need to be reminded that Satan is powerful. And Satan would have all men to perish. That's what he would want. And he'll do anything he can to continue blinding those eyes. As you pray for a person, remember to pray that they would be illuminated, that their eyes would be open. Pray for that person individually. Pray for them by name. Pray the Lord would save them, illuminate them, enable them to understand, enable them to be, their blinders to be lifted, if you would. Pray for them individually. Pray that God would save them. Pray that God would send someone to witness to them. Again, if your witness to them is not being what it ought to be, in other words, it's not making a difference, maybe because of the closeness of the relationship, whatever the case is, pray that God would send someone else, whether God would use you or someone else to witness to that person. Pray for the Word of God. We talked about this one. This is where I wanted to preach tonight. But pray for the Word of God. Maybe I can give you these real quick, or we'll wait till next week. We'll wait till those next week. But there's a spiritual warfare. Satan has blinded the eyes of the lost, Ephesians 2:2 and 2 Corinthians 10:4. Number one, when we fight Satan in prayer. We fight by the Word of God and through prayer. We're in the spiritual warfare, according to Acts 6:4. What do we fight in? And how do we pray? I'll remind you that we should pray in Jesus' name. We touched on this a few Sundays ago, that the name Jesus is being laid aside today. That it's okay to mention the word God, but mention the word Jesus turns everybody upside down. Literally, He has become the rock of offense in the day and age which we live. And I still want to preach that on Sunday morning. Maybe it'll be this Sunday. I don't know. I've had it studied out for 2 months. But the rock of offense. We need to remember that when we pray, we're praying in Jesus' name. I always, always try to end my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is the one who gives power to the prayer. Amen. We fight in Jesus' name. Number three, we fight with the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is our weapon. This is the sword of the Spirit. Again, Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will send Satan packing. The Word of God is like kryptonite to Satan. Everybody with me? It is. Don't come with your guns loaded with something else other than the Word of God when you're going to fight Satan. Because it's not going to work. These guys who get up on the television, began to pray demons out of the building and began to do all this kind of junk, they have no power. It's the Word of God that has power. If you want to combat Satan in your own, whether it's praying and working the sin out of your own life through the Word of God, or whether you're praying for someone else, you should go against him with the Word of God. Number four, fasting. Fasting. You say, well, fasting doesn't have a part in the New Testament. It does too. The Bible in the New Testament talks about it many different times. One, in Mark chapter 9, familiar verse there. Mark chapter 9, verse 29. They had brought someone to the disciples there, and the disciples, Jesus was not there with them, and the disciples couldn't heal him, couldn't heal the boy. It says, how long ago since this thing came on him? Verse 21, Jesus is talking, and he said of a child, and look on down through there, and Jesus ends up healing this boy. And the Bible says that when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, verse 28, why could not we cast him out? Why could we not cast out this demon? And he said unto them, verse 29, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and what? Fasting. I remember as a kid, my dad fasting on many occasions. Fasting as long as 7 days. And he never told nobody. We saw him because we were in the house. And I remember how powerful that influence it had upon my life as a kid to see my dad follow through. And again, I saw him fast several times for 7 days. And pray for people. Pray for my mom. Faithfully prayer. Fasting is a weapon that you can use. You say, well, preacher, when do I know when to fast? When the Lord touches your heart. Not saying, you know, there's some people who physically can't fast. But fasting is a powerful weapon. The last weapon we have, number five, is love. 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 Complete selflessness towards the person you're praying for. With no ulterior motives. In other words, when you're praying for someone, your prayer for them is not that they'll clean up being a drunkard so that your grandkids will have a better dad. That's a bad motive. That's a selfish motive. Even though it's a good one, it's still selfish. But praying for that person individually because that person is lost and undone and on their way to hell. Amen? Pray for them. Pray for them. Satan's in a war. Satan's in a battle. And the only way to combat him is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through prayer. I mentioned this last time. Two reasons why our prayers are not answered. Sin and unbelief. Number one, sin and unbelief. Number two, Satan hinders the prayer. Let's all stand.